the Tesvas. Omer Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel said Rav Nachman that Shmuel said Chachomim Tikku. The Chachomim made the Takona of the Kesuvah. Says Tesvas Mashma the Kesuvah the Rabon. The Mashmuas is we understand that the Kesuvah is the Rabon. The Chaimbo Isho Rabba and also the Gabi Ein Lo Kesuvah, where it discusses a case where a woman hasn't got a kesuba, it says, "My time at Okinu Rabbonin kesuba." Then in Gemara Yebomas, it says, "Why did the Chachomim institute the kesuba?" And the answer is, "Shelotehe Kalo be'Einov Leutzio," in order that it shouldn't be easy for him to divorce her. So it's for the protection of the woman. Almo, so we see, says Tosfos, Tamo da Asha Sovet the Kesuba de Rabbon, that normally the Gemara accepts that the Kesuba is Mid Rabbon. Asks Tosfos, Akasha Vakoshe, says Tosfos, it is difficult. De Noa Gu Lichto be Kesuba Kesab Zuzi Meos and the Chosi Mechi Midaraiso. But we write in the Kesuba, we write the words that Kesav Zuzim Mayosam, that you get 200 Zuzim, that is your due from the Torah. So how, if we say that it's from the Torah in the Kesuba, we write into the Torah, into the Kesuba, that it's from the Torah, of course the Gemara seems to take on that it's Midrabot. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rabbeinu Tam answered, the Samchinon Aravim Gamshir Legaravim Shivin Gamliel Gamasnik in the Perek Basra. We rely on Ravim Shivin Gamliel, that is in the last Perek of Kesubas, the Maisi Lo Nami Besomach, which is also quoted below, which we've already done. The Omar, where Ravim Shivin Gamliel says, No say no mi mumayas mi mors fi kibutkayo, that if he marries her in kibutkayo and if he divorces her in Eretz Yisrael, he gives her the harder currency of kibutkayo, the kesuba kesubado raiso, because he is of the opinion that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is the opinion that kesuba is midah Torah. But kaimanon Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel mishnah seinu, and we pasken like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in our mishnah. So there we know, so that is a psak of Tosfos. So Tosfos paskens that the kesuba of the Isho, that's midin Torah, and we seem to take that psak because that's the way we put it into our kesuba. Says the old Omer Ri, and the Ri says, furthermore, says the Ri, the low came along Rav Nachmon. Rav Nachmon is the one who said that it is the Midrabono. We don't pasken like Rav Nachmon. The Ashkochne da Harav Ashi, because we find Rav Ashi the Huvas Ro, and Rav Ashi is later than Rav Nachmon. He is amongst the very last of the Amoraim. The Poligalei, he differs from Rav Nachmon, ki de Mataritz lekamen Beraisa, as we've got a Beraisa 2 pages further on, Tony Korshilo Mushmash Eino Yochel Litem Tainus Pesulim. If there wasn't, now he makes a law very strict. He says, for example, let us say, a man comes to a Beis Din, and he says, no more tzosi dam. I didn't find any dam basuli. Didn't find any blood. They don't believe him. They say, how can we believe you? He said, I brought the sheet. They say, but we want evidence about the sheet. We want to speak to your interferers and to your bride's interferers, to your wife's interferers, because they looked after it. He said, no, they didn't know about it. They didn't know about it. We don't take your word for it. We will only accept it if they say that this is actually the sheet, and we've examined the sheet and find no blood, then we will believe it. But they have got to come and say that this is indeed the sheet. They were the Shushbini. So we can see how strict it is. So if Rav Ashi says that, he says because her kesuba is midoraiso, and you can't reduce a kesuba by saying that she, you didn't find down, even by producing the sheet, you can't say it, because we have to rely on you that that is indeed the sheet, and we won't do it. So therefore Rav Ashi takes it that the kesuba is midoraiso. So if it's Rav Ashi against Rav Nachman, we will pass him like Rav Ashi because he is the later authority. That's quite clear. That is what Tosfos says. V'lo amridon chazoka in orim terech bisa'udo or mafsido. And we don't say that chazoka in orim terech bisa'udo or mafsido. We don't say that. Now it comes out a very, very interesting thing, and this is the result of.
Did we skip a moment?
Did I skip that? Can happen.
Yes, we don't recall it on Tanat.
Almo the chayish l'shemo mishake. So we see that we are afraid that he's telling a lie. But lo amrin on chazoka in orim tereach bisuudu mafsido. We don't say in orim tereach bisuudu mafsido. So it comes out that this ain't Orem Terech, we say only if Kesuba is the Raiso, we rely on this Chazoka. So this whole Gemara is working on the assumption that Kesuba's issue is Midrabono. Then we can say that we believe him with the Chazoka, but if Kesuba's issue is Midrabono, it now works out that we don't believe him with the Chazoka. So in Psak it works out altogether differently. But I don't think we should go into that. It's still a little bit too complicated for you. And so also explained Rabbeinu Yitzchok ben Rabbeinu Meir, the Rav Ashi Poliga the Rav Nachman, that Rav Ashi differs from Rav Nachman, the whole Amrinu bo Isho Rabo Maitava to Kino Rabbona Kesubo. And when we say in Isha Rabbah, what is the reason that Rabbonan instituted the Kesuba? So it seems that the Gemara takes it that it is an enactment from the Rabbonan. Answers the Gemara, Hochi Pirusha, this is what it means. My time, or what is the reason, Tokido Rabbonan Kesuba, that the Kesuba, that the Rabbonan instituted the Kesuba, Heicho de Tokido. There where they instituted it. Where did they do it? Kegon Balmono. In the case of an Almono. There they instituted, but in the case of a Sulis Midoraisa, Shilote Kalobe Enov Lozio, there they instituted that it shouldn't be easy for him. He marries her, and she hasn't got a Kesuba, so he can easily divorce her if he marries an Almono. Hochi Nami Tokinu Shiloya Halo Kadesha de He Kalova Ainov Lazio. So they instituted for Almono that she should have a Kesuba, that it shouldn't be easy for him to divorce her. That is as far as the Gemara is concerned. Now you can sit back for a little while, and I'll have to go a little bit further with the Gemara.
Look, the COVID are you keeping on for us?
A little fast on the
I didn't do it before, but it's an easy test. If you work it out yourself, you end up in any difficulty.
Just the words of the
Can ask me any words for your app.
Is Michael coming back?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, the next piece of Gemara, before we do the next piece of Gemara, I just want to explain something to you. And I've explained this to you at various times and from various angles. And I've got to make myself always clear about it, what my standpoint is in these matters. The Torah's got standards. These are the standards of the Torah. I know that we don't abide by those standards. Not only don't we abide by the standards, but we've slipped away tremendously from those standards. We've slipped away from it to such an extent that in a country like California, it's the norm. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. And that is the way I relate to you. That you accept these things that you see round about you, some of the things that you see round about you, and there is nothing wrong with it. I've got to be very careful that I don't diminish my own standards. I've got to be very careful that I don't diminish my own standards, not only practically, but I don't diminish my own standards even theoretically. Not only that I don't diminish my own standards even theoretically, but even be the dummy, even imaginatively I don't diminish it. So it's no conflict. This is no conflict. It's just a question of maturity, of a mature approach, being able to do that. And when I deal with you, chas v'sholem, that I should sit in judgment over you, I don't sit in judgment over you, because I know your what you've been born into, what you've seen, what you've been brought up with. I must tell you that I'm full of admiration that I've got a group of young men who come in on Monday mornings, a group of young women who come and want to learn. Means a tremendous amount to me. I wouldn't be able to do what I am doing unless I felt that you were on the way to becoming Torah personalities with Torah standards. You follow what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able to do this work if I didn't have that feeling and if I didn't have that conviction. Now, you've probably heard me say in reply to Reform and Conservative Jews, they make an attack on Orthodox Jews, and they say, look here, what's the difference between you and us? You have congregations that are so-called Orthodox congregations. The people come by car, they travel. The members of those congregations might keep kosher homes, some of them don't. And many of those who do keep kosher homes, when they go on holidays, don't worry about kosher food. When they go to the Caribbean on cruises, they don't worry about kosher food. We're the same thing. The only thing is we are honest. It's not like that. You're not honest. What you are saying is the Torah is wrong and you are right and you make your own laws. That's what you were saying. what we say is the Torah is right and we are wrong. It's a world of a difference. You are being dishonest with yourselves. You say you are right in the Torah. Not only are you being dishonest with yourselves, something worse than dishonest. You're being arrogant. Arrogance is worse than dishonesty. Arrogance is a middle. It's a middle raw. You arrogate to yourselves. This is what we say. We are right, you the telling is wrong. That is the difference. As long as a person says, a middle is an attribute. As long as we say that Torah is right and we are wrong. Now, I know that the work that your rabbi has been doing in the community and the work that I've been doing with you here has been to get you to a stage that you should be able to see that the Torah is right, just to get you to that stage. And I know how difficult it is, that you just can't see anything wrong in it. I know that there are people who can't see anything wrong in homosexuality. What can be wrong in it? Nothing wrong in it. How I complain, the person, he's been brought up in this society. What's wrong in it? So it's a question of, first of all, to get to the stage where one understands what it is all about. What is the Torah view about it? Once we understand what the Torah view about it is, and we can get one stage further, and that is the stage to be able to say the Torah is right and I am wrong. Just to that stage, even if the person doesn't change, practically doesn't change, but if I can get into that stage, what that already means. You follow? Am I making myself clear? I'm saying this, I'm coming back to the subject, I want to bring you a proof from the Torah that it's like that. For example, here we're going to get a case now, a new piece of Gemara, where the Gemara says as follows. It says, Ahuda also lakame de Rav Nachman. Certain person came before Rav Nachman, Omar lay, and he said to Rav Nachman, Pesach Pesuach Metzosi. I found Pesach Pesuach. Omar lay, Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman to the bridegroom, to the new husband, Asburu Kufri, give him lashes with the branches of a Kufri. That's a tree.
It's a tree that has very sharp top.
That's right. Very good. Very good.
It's particularly vicious.
That's right. That's right. Mibrachto chavitole. Do they come from San Francisco and lie down in front of him? You know what that means? It means, how does he know that it was Pesach Pesuach? So it means that they come from San Francisco, they come to him.
They come from Los Angeles as well.
You find here too, is it?
Hollywood.
Is it actually there? Well, alright, this place was, the place like that was Mabrakto. So they come from Rabrachto. asks the Gemara before Rav Nachman who the Omer Mehemen, but Rav Nachman was the one who says above here, Rav Nachman says that he's believed he says Pesach for Suach Masasi. Says the Gemara Mehemen must be like Kufri, of course he's believed, but nevertheless, we believe him, he says, but we are going to give you, we are going to punish you.
Now this is going to be a deterrent for people. We just learned before that we have to have him coming in on Thursday morning, that he shouldn't cool off, the woman shouldn't turn him around. Now we're going to tell you, you're going to come in and say it, you're going to get we're putting in a deterrent.
Yes, but don't forget, this is speaking about any ordinary case. Here he comes, really, he's coming to reduce, he's speaking about any person, he's coming to reduce the consumer demand. Rav Achai Mishamai, Rav Achai said, Kan the Bochur, Kan the Nosri. When did Rav Nachman say that he's believed? When did Rav Nachman say you've got to give him lashes? It's if he's a Bochur. And this, and Rav Achai says, and then Rav Nachman would say he's not believed. Kan the Nosri, when does Rav Nachman say he is believed? He is believed if he's been married before. Then he's believed, and then he doesn't get lashes. I just want to take this little piece of Gemara with you, and apropos of what I said before, and I explained to you before, I want to go a little bit further. Now, yes. The language, I'll just do that again. How, who, that man, the Osel HaKamed Rav Nachman, who came before Rav Nachman, Omar Lay, he said to him, that is, he said to Rav Nachman, Pesach Pesuach Matzosi, I found a Pesach Pesuach. Omar Lay Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman, really, concerning him, as Buhu Kufri, strike him with Kufri, with the branches of Kufri. That's the name of the tree.
Why?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was being explicit. What Rav Nachman is saying is, he must be experienced that he knows his Pesach Pesuach.
Okay.
So it means that he has had relationships with women before he got married.
Okay.
So for that he said...
This town is homosexual.
Says we brought to Chavidu now.
That was my assumption too. That's why I said
that
Hollywood. We all made the same assumption.
I knew that it was a city of vice, but I didn't know it was a city of abnormality.
They have city councilors. The mayor is
committed
to supporting
the
homosexuals
there. I'm sorry.
Rabbi, okay. It's already found a private country, so they've gone beyond
that. Yes.
So
I'm sorry.
These are just people.
I'm awfully sorry.
No,
this is just a promiscuous person.
Oh, no. This is a domestic
power.
I thought you were narrowing it down.
No. We've run to Chavitulay. They said, no, you... from Brachto, that was a place that was known for zoners. Do they come to you from a Brachto? That you are such an expert on this. You, for because of that, we've got to give you Malkus. So that's Malkus Midrabon, he says.
What is getting Malkus?
This is an interesting point that you make, because Tosfos is going to learn it differently, but I'm learning it according to Rashi for the time. Always we understand it according to Rashi. They say, how is it that you are so certain about, how do you know that it was Pesach Pesuach? So you have experience. But you've never been married before, so you've been naughty.
So for being naughty, we can to give you markers, we can be hit with the curse.
Without anything to do
that. Yes, yes. The Rabbon. Markers from the Torah, they can't give it.
What's the significance of Rabbon?
It's an expression. You may come from this town and prostrate yourself before you and invite you. I mean,
do the women come to you?
Yes, yes. I mean, that you seem to. Is this what's been happening to you? That you're such an expert.
The whole of
I'm sorry, you know, that is when you don't know the country in which you live.
And that's the communication problem that develops. Because I said Los Angeles to Herbert to make it. Because I understood what you said, that it wasn't homosexuality. They said Los Angeles to sell the.
I see. The Rav Nachman who the Omar Mehemen asks the Gemara Philip, but Rav Nachman says he is believed, answers the Gemara Mehemen who must be Nulei. He is believed and we give him Malkus. Who must be Nulei Kufri, and we give him Malkus with Kufri. That is the way Rav Nachman leaves it. Let us just leave it at that.
Rabbi,
yes.
Is this in the case, this is in Sarabas' case?
Which one?
The
Hor. Yes. Yes, it is. Asks the Gemara Behor Rav Nachman who the Omer Mehemen, but Rav Nachman says that we believe him. That is Rav Nachman at the very top of the page, Itmer Omer Rav Nachman, the first line at the top of the page, answers the Gemara, yes, Mehemen, he believes him, Umat Mina Le Kufri. He says, we believe you, it's true. We believe you that you are so experienced that you can know and what you say is right. But because you are experienced, you were never married before, we're going to give you Malkus with Kufri. That's what it says, you see.
Maybe I was wrong.
Are we pardon?
Maybe I was wrong.
What
he changes his mind when they give him
the. Are we pardon?
When they come with the Kufri, then he says, change his mind.
Christmas works out really interesting. Tosfos works out that he will get it because he was all right. But when he comes to the Tosfos, I'll deal with it.
What's the shorash of Aspuhu and Maspinam? The only thing in common is the Samach and the
Beis. I'm not sure. It could be Samach Beis Hay, it could be Samach Bov Beis. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I can't.
The effect is giving him back.
Yes, that's right. Giving him back. Now, I explained to you before how all this is. And as I said to you, if I could get you so far that you understand what is the Torah about these things, and the next step after you understand what the Torah is, that you can say, look here, the Torah is right and I am wrong. I was born into this. I don't know enough yet to change my life. I don't know enough yet. I haven't got the courage. I haven't got the moral courage. It's very difficult. All that I can relate. Only if I could get as far as this, to know what is the Torah of you and to acknowledge it, that all that is right. We are living in terrible times. You think, I don't understand the terrible times we are living. I once had an experience of and this man is now he's a famous man in medicine. He was at medical school and he got engaged to a girl, and he came to see me one night. He was in a terrible state, and he came to see me one night, And he broke down and he says, you know, I'm trying so hard to go into my marriage pure. And wherever I go, I see these pictures and these advertisements. What it does to you. What it does to you. That tsar that he suffered. That tsar. The anguish. I can understand tsar that the person suffers. I don't want to go into the question of tsar. I'll deal with the question of tsar, what tsar means. When a person is suffering, what tsar means. What you've got to know is that where there is tsar, imo or no chivetzoro, Hashem is with a person that is in tsar. And that is a postulate that I've got to deal with you. The principle of Hashem is with a person that is in distress. Not only is he with a person, but Hashem is suffering together with a person. You know, there's so much I've got to speak to you about that I just don't know where to begin. But I want to explain to you what I mean by knowing it, and being able to acknowledge it. The Hakoro. Just want to show you something. Apropos of Yehud Ishechochom v'yobeinesos, says Yirmiyot. What wise man is there that will be able to understand this? And one to whom the mouth of Hashem has spoken it and told it, are more of the hoes. Why is the land lost? Why has this happened to Eretz Yisrael? It's Yirmiyahu speaking about the destruction of the temple. Why has this happened? Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Al ozvom esterosi asher nosati lifnehem, velo shomu bekoli velo holku bo. Because they forsook the Torah which I gave before them, and they hearkened not to my voice, and they didn't walk in the ways of the Torah. Now look at the way Hashem says it. Look at the way Hashem says it. He says, Mi ho ishechochom. What wise man is there and will understand it? So it works out that nobody could understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why Yerushalayim was destroyed, why Eretz Yisrael was lost. Now this is the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Nobody understands it until by Yomer Hashem Al Ozvom Estorosi Hashem Osati Bifteyem, until Hashem tells them, because they forsook the Torah which I set before them, Velo Shomu Bekoli Velo Holchubo, they didn't listen to my voice, they didn't walk in the ways of the Torah. Now I'll ask you, have you got to be such a Chochem? It says, what chochem is there that can understand this? Have you got to be a chochem to see that they have forsaken the law of that they have forsaken the Torah? Below Shomu Bekali, they've not. Have you got to be such a chochem? You can see it. You can see it. Have you got to be such a chochem to know that things aren't in order in San Francisco? See, need, you don't have to be a chochem for it. You go through the street, you see it immediately. Something is wrong. So if they don't, if they have forsaken the Torah, and they don't listen to Hashem's voice, and they don't walk in it, so why has he got to say, "Mi o ishe chochem yove"? No wise man is there who can see this. Hashem has got to tell it to them. It's an interesting thing. The Torah, the Gemara says on this, interesting Gemara, it's worthwhile looking at run on this, and the run quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah on this. The run quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah on this. Look at it. It says the Gemara in Yirmiyo, Miyo Ishe Chochom Miyo Beinezos. Dover there, says the Gemara, when the Yirmiyo who calls out, what wise man is there, an understanding man is there? Says the Gemara, explains what Yirmiyo means. Says the Gemara, Nish Allah Chachomim, the question was asked of Chachomim, why is Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Why is Beit HaMikdash destroyed? V'la Nevi'im, and it was asked of Nevi'im. And there is another Gilsha, Ula Malachi Ashuris, and it was asked, the Malachim themselves, the angels themselves, was asked, V'lo Pirshuhu, and they were unable to give an answer. Why was
unable or unwilling?
Unable. Below Pirshua, they were unable to give the answer. Adshir Pirshua Kurish Borchuda Atzma. Until the Rebbeinu Shleilam himself had to explain why it was destroyed. Dichsiva Yomer Hashem al Ozbo Mesterosi. Because Hashem says, they have forsaken my Torah. Hainu velo Shomu Vekori velo Volchu Bo. They didn't go there. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav says Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, she'ein mevorchim b'teura techilo. It means that they didn't make a bracha in the Torah first. So, first of all, I've got to ask this question. Hashem says, because they forsook the Torah and they didn't keep the Torah. You ask Chachomim and they can't give you an answer. You ask Nevi'im and they can't give you an answer. You ask Malachim and they can't give you an answer. But this everybody can see. Everybody can see this. If you say to me in San Diego, have you been there? I say, yes, I've been to San Diego. How long were you in San Diego? I was in San Diego for 36 hours. 36 hours, long time. A lot of Torah in San Diego, say no. Any Torah in San Diego, no. No Torah in San Diego, no Torah in San Diego. So, it doesn't exist. No Torah. Perhaps one learns here, one learns there, a little bit is taught here, a little bit is taught there. It's not a place of Torah. Is it so difficult to see? It's not difficult to see. He has to ask Chachomim and Nevi'im and Malach HaShoreis, and nobody can say until Hashem gives the reason. What is it? So we see that here is something else. It goes something far deeper than this. And the Gemara says it doesn't mean that they didn't learn Torah, but it means that they didn't make a brocha of the Torah first. They didn't shelaborchu b'teura techilo of the orens. He says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ram quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah. says you've got to say that, because if it was only that they forsook the Torah, anybody could see that. You don't have to ask Kachomim and Nabiim. Lo melo pirshu, velo dover golui hoyo, v'kal lefarish. This is an open thing and everybody can see that. Elo badi oskin hoyo v'Torah tomi. But they were certainly studying the Torah all the time. Ulefiho hoyu Kachomim and Nabiim temeihim al mal ofdo ores. So wise people and prophets wondered, why is the earth being destroyed? Such a big calamity. The Rabbeinu Shleilam knows the innermost thoughts of man, right down into the depths of the soul. That means So what does this amount to is this? Study the Torah they studied. Knew the Torah, they knew the Torah. Observe the Torah. On the surface, it would appear that they even observed the Torah. But there was something far, far deeper than that. There is a tremendous gulf between the receiving of evidence and the conclusions that one draws from. There was a book written last year by a man called Lacker. His name Lacker, The Terrible Secret. He calls it The Terrible Secret. And he discusses there, he says, during the war, what the Germans did. He said, you know, people didn't seem to know about it. Why didn't they know about it? And he says, but they did know about it. He says, the Swedes knew about it and the Swiss knew about it, but they kept quiet. Why did they keep quiet? Because they were interested, they were neutral, they wanted to remain neutral. They didn't want to irritate Germany, so they kept quiet about it. The Russians kept quiet about it because they linked up with the Germans. They kept quiet about it. Why did England keep quiet about it? Why did America keep quiet about it? He goes very much further. He says, why did the Jews keep quiet about it? Jews also kept quiet about it. There were Jewish quarters that knew about it. And he says, you know, there's an impotence that the governments have, and if there's an impotence that they have, they try and cover it up, and he tries to explain. But what one sees is that there is a tremendous gap between the knowledge that one has and, first of all, drawing the conclusions and acting on those conclusions. Tremendous gap. There are two reasons for it. Now, a person like Lacker, how do you pronounce Lacker? A person like Lacker, when he deals with it, he makes the observation. When we deal with it, we've got to deal with it from the Torah and try and understand what it's all about. But we see miracles taking place. We think that we lived in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, we would have been the greatest tzaddikim. We would have believed everything with all those miracles we have seen. In every miracle, the Rabbeinu Shalom leaves open a place for doubt. The Ramban calls it Lahaktin Es Hanes, to reduce the miraculous in it. Why is it necessary to do so? You've heard me speak on this before. So that a person should be his own emunah. If he just sees a miracle, there's no, it's not his own faith, it's not his own emunah. So Hashem has created a midah. What is the midah? Skepticism. Finally, Hashem creates skepticism. It's very useful. With skepticism, we are able to create our own faith. The tzaddik be'emunah, so he's by his own faith. So a man, it's difficult for a person to believe. Of course, we go and make a mess of the whole thing. We see an advertisement on the television, and we immediately take the toll-free number, and we phone it, and we place an order. We believe it. But we see a nice mirror of mind that we don't believe. The human being is an absolute miracle. There we are skeptical. So we use our skepticism in the wrong place. That is one form of disbelief. It's a gap between the doing. There is another type that's altogether different. To see a thing is right, to acknowledge that is right, is a very big gap between seeing that it is right and acknowledging that it is right. A very big gap. They saw, they knew it, they studied the Torah things. When it came to a question of observing the Torah, there it says, "Velo shomu v'koli velo holku." What they did, they said, is nothing wrong. Everything is right. Of course, the main part of the Torah they kept, but what they didn't keep, they didn't acknowledge that that wasn't right. Didn't acknowledge. Now, just look what it comes to. What they didn't keep, wise men couldn't discern. The Nevi'im couldn't discern. The Malachim couldn't discern. Only the Rabbeinu Shleilam knew, and for that they were punished to this extent. The Malachim couldn't notice anything wrong. The Nevi'im couldn't notice anything wrong. The Chachomim couldn't, the Malachim couldn't. Only Hashem knew that, and for that such a punishment. For that such a punishment. And that is, another person can't see what's going on. And another person is not expected to see. And I can hide it from another person. But I am expected to see. I am expected to know and to be able to say, this is wrong. And if I can't see it, I'm responsible. That's my responsibility. My first task is to get you to the point where you can appreciate, know the Torah of you. First thing. The second thing is that you can relate to the Torah of you. By relating to the Torah of you, and that's the second stage, by relating to the Torah of you is being able not only to know it, but to understand it, to appreciate it. And say, okay, that is as it should be. I might not be up to that standard, but that is as it should be. And we are learning this tomorrow, and at least on that level, I would like to develop it. I just want to tell you something else apropos of that. I spoke to you about Psar. Of course, there's a tremendous amount of Psar. Psar. Everybody has got tzaddik. Everybody's got distress and anguish. There isn't a person that you can see walking in the street that hasn't got distress and anguish. Somewhere or other, especially in the times we live, we've got a deen in the temple that we must say, we must mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. The question is once a day or twice a day, but at least every day we've got to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, unfortunately, we are living in a secular world. We are living where the Jewish world is secular. We are living where we have already reached a stage where the Jewish religion has become secularized, where Judaism has become secularized. So what does secular Judaism do with the law that you've got to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? Human rights. See how important it is, how important human rights is. That Judaism requires mentioning going out of Egypt yesterday, we were slaves and this old, we have slaves and they were human rights. It's a tendentious way of explaining. That's not what the Torah means. When the Torah wants us to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day of our lives, it is a cornerstone in Emunah. It's a cornerstone of Emunah. Because otherwise you say, Hashem doesn't know, he's not interested in what goes on. Hashem created the universe, fine, that's all. But what goes on with us, how did the Bnei Israel come out of Egypt? Bnei Israel came out of Egypt, a great leader, a demagogue, the people, he aroused the people, they rebelled and they went out. That's the way things are done. People, Moshe was chosen because he was the most unlikely person to bring out the Bnei Israel. And when Moshe argues with Hashem and he says, I'm a kavate, I can't speak, I stutter, I stammer, I can't do anything. So Hashem says, I'll tell you what, let Aaron go. Oh, he says, excellent, let Aaron be the one there. Let him, I hand over to him. Let him do it all. No. Because you are no good, that's why you've got to go. Because you are the worst person for the job, that is why you've got to go. Because if it's a good person for the job, they'll say that he did it. We don't want that. We want them to know the whole excuse we tried is that Hashem cares for the people. Where did Hashem appear to Moshe Rabbeinu? The first time.
In
the snare. What is a snare? A thorn bush. Now I know what a thorn bush is, as nobody else in this room knows what a thorn bush is. I know what a thorn bush is, because in the house where I was born, in front of the house there was a thorn bush. To me it seemed a big thing. I suppose it was a bush. When I look back it seemed a big thing. And I remember that I used to play there and there was a furrow of water. A furrow of water used to go in front of it. And I used to play there. And it had a yellow flower. And I remember putting my hand in to try and get the yellow flower. What I did, I just stuck my hands all over. Whatever I kept away from that, wherever I came near to that thorn bush, I got stuck by the thorns. So the association is Hashem appears out of the thorn bush. I am suffering together with you. Imo onothi v'tzoro. We've got another case of it. It's a song. Imo onochi v'tzoro achaletzeyu v'chabdeyu. Hashem says, I am with the Am Yisroel in tzoro. And what we believe that means is that Hashem suffers together with the person, whatever his suffering is, suffers together with the person. That is the idea of Yetzias Yitzchak, that we should know all that, how much Hashem is bound up with every single person and with the Am Yisrael. That is not that Hashem stays out of it, but there is a proof from the Torah itself, and an indisputable proof. The Torah says as follows. Just before that we've had the Tochachom. What is going to happen to the Am Yisrael? So the Torah says, when all this has come upon you, and you will lay it up to your heart, you will think about it. Amongst all the goyim where I have scattered you, the shaftu ad Hashem Elokecha, and you will return to the Lord your God, and you will listen to His voice. Then listen to this verse: V'shov Hashem Elokecha es shavusecha v'irachamecha. In my English translation, which is the English translation of the Jewish Publication Society of America, it's got it like this: and the Lord your God will turn your captivity, and He will have mercy upon you. And it's a wrong translation, because if it's and the Lord your God will turn your captivity, then it should have said Baheshiv Hashem Elokecha Shivosecha. So it can't mean that, it's another word. And please remember, whether it is Torah, whether it is Nevi'im, whether it is Kesuvim, whether it's Mishnah, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Rashi, whether it is Tosfos, always translate literally first, and afterwards first as literal as possible, and then you can give a literary translation. But from a literal translation you learn a tremendous amount. The literal translation, V'shov Hashem Elokecha, and the Lord your God will return, Es Shavusecha, together with your captivity. So if it means the Lord your God will return together with your captivity, that means He's also in captivity. So from there we know, Imo Onochi V'tzor, that Hashem is together with the Am Yisroel in its Tzorah, in its captivity. And He suffers together with the Am Yisroel in its captivity. And that, Philip, what do you want to ask?
Philip, how does S indicate
No, we've got it over.
We've got it over, right?
All over. S is together with.
Yes.
S is together with. S is together with. We've got it all over. Are we pardoned?
S does not have to be the accusative.
No. It's to be together with.
In the meantime, already it would be, but it's difficult.
No, it's in consecration. Right at the beginning, when the animals walked in, Es Noach, together with Noach.
I think everywhere in the Tanakh it could be either one, but in later Hebrew it
was not. Yes. Yeah, that is. You follow. Have you got it, Philip?
Yeah.
This is the only way you can translate it. Only way you can translate it. So, of course, there is a tremendous amount of tzad. The only thing is, sometimes there's tzar for the wrong thing. That you've got to be careful of. If there is tzar that I can't live like the Joneses, Rebbeinu Shleilam isn't there. There the Rebbeinu Shleilam isn't with the person. But if there is the proper tzar, I mean, you know, aggravation. Aggravation, one can understand, one has aggravation. it's unnecessary aggravation that is bad. Tzar, necessary tzar, that's fine. It's all right. But where there is that type of suffering, there Hashem is not with the suffering, but he's in the suffering, and Hashem suffers together. Hashem suffers together. And then we say, Lefum tzaro akro, according to the tzar, to the anguish, to the distress, is the reward. What do you want to ask him?
Just the obvious question, how do we understand Hashem's suffering?
I think that is something that one can understand very well. That one can understand very well. You know, if you take what suffering is, where there is a disparity between what should be and is being suffering, where there is a disparity, what there should be and could be, and there is, there is suffering. But that Hashem suffers, that is, that Hashem, we've got certain midas of Hashem that we know. Hashem, Hashem, Keil, Rachum, Bechanun, Erech Apayim is suffering.
What does that mean?
Erech Apayim is long suffering. Erech Apayim. Hashem doesn't bring a punishment on immediately. He's tolerant and he waits. You suffer all that time. You suffer all that time. If you can't suffer, you can't wait. From Erech Apayim, we know that Hashem suffers.
And then what comes out of
the only thing the Rambam says, what the Rambam says is, when we speak about the suffering of Hashem, it is suffering. But we can't understand what suffering it is. But I can assure you it's a much deeper suffering than any human being has. Because it's right in the source. Right in the source.
It's just something that's beyond my understanding.
Everything that we've got is. It can be explained another way too, but I don't want to explain any other way. What if you ask David?
And then out of that comes what?
Out of what?
The
suffering. That is, so Hashem is interested, not only does he understand the suffering, but he is in the suffering together.
Right.
And if it's in the suffering, it's the idea of no seba ol im chaveira, that if a person is suffering a tremendous amount, and I sympathize with him, he really feels better. If I give him moral support, he already feels better. How does he feel if I'm in the suffering together with him? I suffer as much as he suffers. This is a tremendous thing to that person. Why? Because he is trying to improve himself, he's trying to get out of the suffering, and I'm trying to get out of the suffering, so we're both getting out of the suffering. It helps much more. Emishayim helps us. But what we've got to know is the principle of Imo or no Kivatzoro. And those are the three places we've got it. We've got it in the in Tehillim. There the idea is, we've got it in the story of the snare, the Midrash takes it from the snare, and we've got Hashem would be doing, Hashem is in Kodesh, and there are many Chazals and Gemara that Hashem says, I am in Kodesh and I am suffering together with the Am Yisrael.
And the purpose of that is to punish you, to understand
the purpose of the suffering, that's nothing, I don't want to discuss that now. But when a father punishes a child, you think the father isn't suffering?
Right.
Father's also suffering. When a father sometimes has to send the child away, he's unmanageable. He's got his thing, the father is suffering. The father is suffering also. Suffering all the time. But that is how a no man stands alone in his suffering. Hashem is always there. And I know that today young people suffer a tremendous amount. Tremendous amount of suffering. There's a loneliness, there's a suffering in a loneliness, there's a suffering. All right. Now, next week is Tisha B'Av, so I won't be coming in next week. Here's Hashem, the 16th, the following week, I'll be coming in. To get started. The Gemara today begins from about the middle of the page on Daf Yud. Ahuda also la kame de Rav Nachman. We are speaking about a certain gentleman who made an appearance before Rav Nachman. And from what follows, we don't know whether he really was such a gentleman, but we shall soon find out. Ahuda osela kamed Rav Nachman, certain that man, Ahu, that man understood, de also who came, le kamed Rav Nachman, before him, that is before Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a Dayan. If there's any word I use, you don't know the meaning of the word, then you know what the arrangement is, you stop me. Rav Nachman was a great Dayan. He came before Rav Nachman, he was a presiding judge, Omer le Pesach Pesuach Matzosi. He said, I found that the young lady whom I thought was a Besula wasn't a Besula. He comes the morning after the first night of the wedding. And he says, Pesach Pesuach Matzosi. Omar le Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman concerning him, that is, he addressed the officers of the court, and he said, Asbur Kufri, thrash him with branches of a certain palm that is called a Kufri. Thrash him with that. Mibrachto chavito lei. Chavito is the name of a town, like Santa Cruz. Is the do the zonas of Santa Cruz, do the harlots of Santa Cruz then come and lie down in front of him, that he should know that they what it is? So I'm learning the Havaminu. I'm learning the Havaminu that Rav Nachman doesn't believe him. He doesn't know. So he says, "Give him Malkus." So he still says, Rav Nachman says he doesn't know whether it's Pesach Pesuach Matzosi. From where does he know? Do the donors all come and visit him from Santa Cruz that he's so so proficient in it? Therefore he is telling a lie. If he's telling a lie, he is being motzi laz on a bas yisroel. How would you translate motzi laz?
Well, slandering?
Well, he's giving a bad name. He is giving a bad name to a bas yisroel. Motzi laz is the impertinence of it. So he is being thrashed with the branches of a kufra, with the branches of this particular path, because he's not telling the truth. That's the way I'm learning the Havaminu. And now then the Gemara follows very well. Asks the Gemara, V'ho Rav Nachman hu de Omar Mehemen. But Rav Nachman is precisely the person that says he is believed. How do we know that Rav Nachman says that he is believed?
He broke down.
On the top, right on the top, eat for Omar of Nachman Omar Shmuel, which are Rabbi the laws of Chachom Tikman Lubnez, he fell up through the sign, where Amon, Amon, they may have been new, she won't fit up with Surah Matsasi Neman. So Rav Nachman is the one who says he is believed, so how can you say he doesn't believe him? Answers the Gemara, no, you're right. Mayhemen, Umas bin and they kufri. He is believed, and he gets Malkus. He gets Malkus for. Now I've got to learn the Gemara a little bit differently. So when he says Pesach Pesuach Matzosi Omalei Rav Nachman says the intonation is different. Asbur Kufri, Thrashim with Kufri, Mibrachto Chavitolei. From Santa Cruz they must have come, the donors must have come and threw them and thrown them down at his feet.
Believe him.
That's how you know. Now we give you for knowing we give you. You had no business to know. Not such a gentleman. Now we give you for knowing, yes. Are we pardon?
It's a no-win situation.
What do you mean it's a no-win situation? The one who wins is the one who is on plach. He's the one who wins. That's the one who wins. Of course it's that. There's an all-win situation.
So how do we normally take a situation, okay, in that particular case?
I don't know yet. Tomorrow we'll see what's going to happen. Let's see what happens. So that is Masbin Le Kufri. So that is the way we learn this piece of Gemara now. Rav Achai, Mishani, he answers this Gemara differently. On the question of that Rav Nachman says he is believed, says Rav Achai, Kan Bebochur, where Rav Nachman says, it says, Asbuhu Kufri, he says there it is speaking about a bochur and is not believed. So Rav Achai learns the Gemara that the intonation for Mibrachtu Chavitulei is interrogative. It is an interrogative, it's a question. Do they then come, I don't believe him. It's speaking about a bochur, it's speaking about somebody who was never married before. But Khan, when at the top of the page, when Rav Nachman says that if he says Pesel Pesuach Matzosi, he is believed, it's speaking about Nosui, one who has been married, or is married. Perhaps he's married and he's taking a second wife, perhaps he was married and he's an Almon, or perhaps he was Makavish, his wife. But at the moment the thing is that he's entitled to know. That is the way this piece of Gemara, that is the way we learn this piece of Gemara. That is the way Rashi learns this piece of Gemara. Have you got that clear? Dr. Flesh, it might just take me a little while to get into it.
Sorry.
Fine, all right. Okay.
So
I don't ask you why you like it. I know there's a reason for it.
There is.
What is that?
According to Rav Achai, then, in the part where Rav Nachman says that we don't believe him, does that mean that he can live with her then? That he's not Asra Olav?
According to whom?
According to Rav Achai now.
If he's a bocher,
yeah.
If he's a bocher, then he's not believed. Rav Nachman paskens that he's not believed,
which means he's not believed.
Then he can he's allowed to live with her
since he's not believed.
Yes,
but is it he should be
neman la'asher Allah? That's right. Neman la'asher Allah
because of Shavi Aleichet
Yisrael.
Very good indeed. Very good indeed. Right. There's a Madonna Yom Tov on that. Very good indeed. If he insists, according to Rav Achai, we're speaking now according to Rav Achai. According to Rav Achai, if he insists, he says, right? He says that
But I know that that is the case. Now, it's no good telling me that I'm a bocher ma'adeus. No, I happen to know. And he insists that he's... Then he can't live with it. Then he shavi alechati chodisura. We'll get a better example of it later on. Then it's shavi alechati chodisura. But we've got two different pshotim. We've got two different pshotim here. We've got the first day, and then we've got Rav Achai. Two different ways of learning Rav Nachman's deal. The first day learns that Rav Nachman says that he is not believed. As the first day is that Rav Nachman says he is believed. And therefore he gets Malkus. We believe him. Rav Achai says, no, he's not believed. He is not believed. So why does he get Malkus?
For Mosi Lars.
He gets Malkus for Mosi Lars.
There's something going on. There's something strange.
Well, it is not really something strange. I can understand that you're a little bit puzzled by it, but I'll go through it again and then you won't be so puzzled by it.
The question that I think that's bothering was, why would he be motzilas? Just like this. He has a chazaka of Ein Odom Haref Besuda.
Yes.
So just to be motzilas, what would be the point of it? It's the same thing.
Well, first of all, yeah, if you're speaking Ahuda Os, it's not speaking about a Kohen. It's speaking about anybody.
Okay, so
it's not speaking about a Kohen. Yes. So anyway, as far as that is concerned, he can live with that.
Okay.
He's not a Kohen, he can live with that.
So why did he come now?
He comes to be mafsid her kesuba. Okay. He wants her to lose her kesuba. And Rav Nachman says he is believed before. So, and the Gemara says, yes, says the Gemara, he is believed, but he gets Malkus for it. He's believed and she loses the Kesuba, but he gets Malkus because Mosi Lars. Now, the thing is, this Mosi Lars, I want to explain to you what the Mosi Lars is. A little bit better so that you can understand it.
Lars come
better.
From Azus Ponem?
Yes, yes, it is. It's an Azus Ponem. It's a Mosi Lars. I'll try and give you because it's a principle, and I'm trying to work up my 3,000 principles with you. Once you get 3,000, you can start working already. I'll try and give you an explanation of what it is. The deal is as follows. If a man writes his wife a debt, he writes her, he appoints a sofer, he appoints a scribe to write her a debt, and this scribe writes the get on behalf of the husband. But it's so much on behalf of the husband that the husband is kone, he acquires part of the paper and the ink and the quill, and now it's his own property, and he hands it over to the sofer and appoints the sofer to write a get for him. That's the way it works. Then the sofer writes the get, and in the front of a beis din and in front of two witnesses, he hands the get over to his wife. Immediately it comes into her hands, and he has told her in front of the witnesses and in the presence of the Beit Din, he has told her what it is that he's handing over to her. Then she becomes a grusha, she becomes a divorcee, immediately she gets it. What's the next thing that's done? The get is handed back to the Beit Din, and she is given a document testifying that indeed a get was given by her husband to her in the presence of kosher witnesses and before a Beis Din. So we could give her the get itself. That we don't do. Not only don't we give her the get, but what we do, we've got a topic now, we take the get.
No.
We take the get, corners wouldn't be any good to us.
Put holes in it?
We take the get, you can do that. Well, but the way we do it is we take the get and we take a knife and we go across it like that. So now we've invalidated the get, but it doesn't matter. Because in any case, the get can't be used again. A get can only be used once. And if a man has got a friend who's got the same name as he, and that friend has got a wife who's also got the same name as his wife, and they live in the same town, and he wants to, on the same day, the other one wants to save money now, and he says, if you don't spend any money, I'll give you the same gift, you use it, or the wife says, I'll give you the gift, you can't do it. You see, you can't do it. So, in any case, the get is invalid, but that's not the reason why we do it. We do it like this, shelola hotzi la'as alo isha. You let the get out of your hands. Give it to the woman. Then it starts making its rounds. Some people are interested to see the get. Some people are curious to see the get. There are people who are even worse than curious, they're inquisitive and want to see the get. Some people are stump busybodies and they're interested in everybody else's business. Fella gets the get, he says, look here, there's a mistake. Now you are in great difficulty. In the meantime, she might have become married already. She might already have a child. That means if there's a mistake in a get, that means it wasn't a divorce. If it wasn't a divorce, she's still an Ashes Ish. She's still an Ashes Ish. The child is a mamzer. So you follow what the result is. So in order to prevent anything like that, and that anything can happen with a get, the ink can come undone from the paper, which happens sometimes. The ink comes undone from the paper and it's already a possible get. Or it gets bent and there's a crack in the oath, and we are very careful the way we fold over the get. We're very careful of these things. We make the get possible, we do like that, and the get is possible, and we keep it in our records. She just, why? Because that is multi laws. So we are very, very careful not to be multi laws. If anything, are you pardon? Really what it means is to give a bad name. It's just to give a bad name and to create doubts in the minds of the people about the validity of something that is it. And we are very, very careful before we do anything like that. Another thing we're very careful about, a mikveh is a finicky thing. No responsible rov will ever say about a mikveh that it's possible. Because he knows what it means. It means that children that are born from a... He'll never say that. That is being motzilas. And even if he's certain that the mikveh is not in order, he will be very careful to put the mikveh in order and say, I want an improvement there. But he'll never say, if he's a responsible rov, he will never say, that's been motzi las. And then he's got ways to need to, he's working on all sorts of things, he'll do everything he can to get it improved, an improvement. Never say that's motzi las, that it's not in order. It's mostly loss. I mean, you're causing damage, and you never do that.
Could damage be caused by having it to be used if it's not?
He says, I must have an improvement. It's not good enough for me. I've got to have an improvement.
He can say, I won't allow any woman to go and use this mikveh until the improvements are there. But, Rebbe, is it a traifa? Is it a posel of mikveh? It's not a posel of mikveh, but if I allow women to there, you do nothing about mending it. So I'm not allowing any women to go there, so that it will be able to be mended. That's the way he works, you see. But if he's a responsible person, he'll never say that's not in order, because that is being motzi las, and we are very, very careful about being motzi las. I've given you two examples now. I've given you the example of the get, and I've given you the example of the mikveh. Clear? Yes, Mark.
I think, just to make sure, a similar example, when I had my set of my fill-in check,
yes.
The rabbi refused to say they were pasul. They just said I should buy a new set.
Yes. Really, that's just, that's not being motzi las. He's quite right. So what's he going to tell you? It's possible. And then you're going to ask, it means that all this time I haven't been sitting on for fear. And if you haven't, so what can you do about it? One doesn't say things that don't have no meaning or have no worth. Don't forget, one has to give an account for everything that one says. What's the point of it? So you get another pair of tefillin. It's the way to deal with it. All right? Got the story clear. But have you got clear now what is motzi las? Stuart, have you got the idea of what is motzi las? I can't find a suitable phrase in English for it.
What's the Hebrew derivative?
From Azus. It's an impertinence.
But from
Loez? Are we part of Loez?
No,
Loez is another thing. You're thinking of a sefer that has been published in English. I'm Loez, isn't there something?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no. No, the A's, Rashi takes it, Loshen Am Zor.
It means foreign.
Foreign, yes, from La'az, but there it's in the Rosh Etevis. Loshen Am Zor, the language of a strange people. You follow? So that's put together from three words. Motzi las.
It's in Shirat HaYam.
Where? Where is it in Shirat HaYam? That's quite right. May Am Lo Eid. That's quite right. Yes, you're quite right. I wonder how it's translated. Is it from a strange nation? Is it translated from a strange nation, or is it translation from an aggressive nation? I don't know quite how it's translated. All right. Fine. That's very good. Thank you. Now let me do this piece of Gemara over with you again, and then you will get the hang of it. Ha'hu de'oso. Lekamed Rav Nachman. Certain gentlemen came before Rav Nachman. Omar Lei, he said to him, Pesach posuach motzosim. Omar Lei Rav Nachman said to him, Rav Nachman. It means not to him, but it means Rav Nachman, pointing to him, said, Azbu kufri, thrash him with palm branches. Mibrachto chavitole, do the zoners from Mibrachto come and throw themselves down in front of him that he knows? So therefore he can't know, and consequently he is motzi las. For being motzi las, he gets what are known as makos mardus, that is a thrashing midrabonon. Makos drabonon or makos mardus. He gets thrashed midrabonon. Asks the Gemara, and this is the question that the Gemara asks, the Omer Rav Nachman the Omer Mehemen, but Rav Nachman says he is believed. Up at the top, answers the Gemara, Mehemenu must be Nilei Kufri. No, says the Gemara. He is really believed.
and he gets Malkus. And why does he get Malkus? Because he knows. You know too much. You have no business to know. So he is believed. She loses her kasuba. She doesn't get 200. She now gets 100. But he gets Malkus. And now we've got to learn those words, mi brachto chavito le, not as a question, but the intonation has got to be b'nei chuso, where Rav Nachman says, as a statement, as bur kufri, give him Malkus, mi brachto chavito le. The Zonas from Santa Cruz came and they threw themselves down at his feet. That's the only way I can understand it. Right. Rav Achai said no. Rav Achai Mishani, Rav Achai said. Now Rav Achai is giving the answer to the question of the Gemara. But Rav Nachman said that he is believed. Said Rav Nachman, yes, of course Rav Nachman said he is believed. Kan bebochu. In this particular case where the man came to Rav Nachman, it's speaking about a bochur. And here it is, he's not believed. Where Rav Nachman says he is believed, Kan Benosui, there he's speaking with a person who is married or has been married. There he knows. There Rav Nachman says he is believed, but here he says he's not believed, he's a bocher, and he gets Malkus because he was Motzi Lachas. That is the way Rav Achai learns. Have you got the idea? Now, I'm still not altogether finished with it. You'll still do it, but we'll take it in its steps. Now, let us say, Michael, how are you feeling? Happy with it?
Sure.
Right. Oh, good. Very good. Now, let us do the Rashi. The Rashi says as follows. Azbur Kufri. Can you see that bit of Rashi? Azbur Kufri. Got the place?
No.
Kufri. Hilkuhu Malkios, thrash him with lashes, the Makelos Charios, with the whips of branches, shodekel of a dekel of a palm tree, sheyesh bohim oktsin. That have oaks in that have got nodules on the branches, kamin coats in like thorns. So there are different types of palms. So we don't take an ordinary palm to imagine giving with a lulav. it doesn't even hurt him. Not only doesn't even hurt him, it's not even a disgrace. So he says, you give it to him with those other palms that grow here in the Washington Avenue. Kid Amrina Besuka. Now, how do we know what it means? Kid Amrina Besuka, as we say in Suka, the Emo Kufro answers the Gemara Drocheo Dalche Noam Kasim. I want to explain to you what it means there. In the Torah it says, Ulakatim Lochem Bayomo Risho, 3/8 Hodom. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day, that is the first day of Sukkot, 3/8 hodor. Ever since I can remember, I have translated 3/8 hodor, the fruit of a goodly tree. It means the fruit of a beautiful tree. That's what it means. And when I speak about the fruit of a beautiful tree, what kind of a tree is it that it's speaking about? An Esra. No, it's an Esra. Then it says, but kapos tmorim. Kapos tmorim is a very funny expression. Tmorim are dates. And kapos tmorim are the branches of dates. And the word kapos is used instead of anothim. The word kapos is used because kapos is like a hand. Now, the branches are like a hand. The leaves, you can put the leaves together. The leaves are together. It's only when it grows that it spreads out like that. So it's called kapos tmorim. You follow? And we know that kapos tmorim means branches. The Gemara in Sukkah asks a question. The Gemara says, it says in the Torah, Kappas Gemara, says the Gemara in Sukkah, the Eimo Kufro, let us say that the type of palm that it is the Kufro. Answers the Gemara, it says, no, it can't be the Kufro, because the Kufra's got oaks in, it's got these nodules. And it means that if a man takes a lulav to bench with it, he's going to prick his hands. And it says, the rocheho darche noah. The words of the ways of the Torah are ways of pleasantness. So it can't be that type of palm. Therefore, it must be the palm that we use that hasn't got these nodules on it which will prick one's hands. So, what is the principle? The principle